Hello, this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. Today we have some wonderful teachers lined up. In the first half, we're going to talk to Dr. Hillary Chambers on lung health. And in the second half, we're going to talk to Dr. Brian Carpenter on how actually we heal. But first, here's Alan with the Health First News.
Rheumatoid arthritis drugs may save lives of patients hospitalized with severe cases of COVID-19, according to a groundbreaking clinical trial. The findings, first announced in January, have now been peer-reviewed and published in a major medical journal. In the study, initially reported in November, the arthritis drugs tocilizumab and zarilumab reduced death among critically ill COVID-19 patients by nearly 9 percentage points, or about 25%. The drugs are immune modulators called IL-6 receptor antagonists. These drugs also shorten patients' hospital stays significantly. The findings were published February 25th in the New England Journal of Medicine. Gyms can be hotspots for COVID-19 outbreaks if people don't wear face masks, even if they follow social distancing guidelines, according to new research from the Center for Disease Control in the United States. The agency released findings last week from outbreaks at gyms that had a high attack rate last summer, one from Hawaii and one from Chicago. In Hawaii, 21 people contracted COVID-19 in July after an infected cycling instructor taught classes for 3 days and later tested positive. The cycling stations were spaced more than 6 feet apart, but no one wore masks. In Chicago, 55 of 81 people who attended high-intensity fitness classes during the last week of August contracted COVID-19. In the Chicago report, the CDC team wrote, "The increased respiratory exertion that occurs in the enclosed spaces of indoor exercise facilitates transmission of SARS-CoV-2. Helping your brain stay sharp with age may be as simple as changing up the food on your plate at dinner time, a new study suggests. The study focused on the healthy Mediterranean diet, a regimen reliant on olive oil, beans, nuts, fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, with chicken and fish largely replacing red meat. Dairy products and eggs are only used in low to moderate amounts, according to the American Health Association. Nutritionists have long touted the benefits of the diet on various facets of health, including cardiovascular health, but a team of researchers in Scotland, led by Janie Corley, wanted to see whether Mediterranean fare might help the brain work better with age, too. To do so, her team tested the mental ability of over 500 people averaging 79 years of age, none of whom showed any signs of dementia. Participants were also asked to fill out questionnaires on what their typical diets were over the past year. The study was published recently in the journal Experimental Gerontology. Pregnancy-related high blood pressure can lead to long-term health risks, new research shows. Compared to those with normal blood pressure during pregnancy, women who develop blood pressure disorders such as preeclampsia and gestational hypertension had significant differences in heart structure and function a decade after giving birth. These differences mainly affect the heart's left ventricle and may increase a woman's risk of heart disease and heart failure later in life without her being aware of it, according to the University of Pittsburgh study published February 22nd in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology.
Thanks, Alan, for the Health First News. We have Hillary Chambers with us today. She's a naturopathic physician practicing in Toronto, as well as being the chief spokesman and education ambassador for Healthology, a health products company. So welcome, Hillary.
Hi there, Kathy. Thank you so much for having me.
So good to have you back on the show. So we'd love you to teach us about our lungs today. You know, there's a lot going on, and our lungs have to really serve us in keeping us healthy. So can you tell us a little bit about what our lungs are doing for us and how they work?
Absolutely. It's funny, right? The lungs are something that they're working all the time for us. Yet I think in the health world anyway, we don't really talk about them as much as I think we should. So I'm glad we're chatting about it today. So of course we know our lungs are what allow us to breathe, but we want to take it further than that. So we are looking at, well, why do we breathe? Of course we breathe to get oxygen into our lungs. And then what happens is something called gas exchange, which basically that's why we have blood. So our lungs bring in oxygen, and then we transfer that across the lung tissue into the red blood cells. And then those act like little transport trucks to take oxygen to our cells. And then, of course, our cells need to use those in order to make energy and basically do everything else we need to survive. So without that proper exchange over that lung tissue, the rest of our cells around our bodies can't actually continue to function. So they're more important than maybe we give them credit for, we don't think about.
So how important is the quality of our breath, of how we breathe?
How we breathe? Well, I mean, there's a couple different factors there. So there's our lung capacity as a whole, right? So there's a couple things that we take into consideration. Yes, is our physiological and our physical. So are our lungs able to expand properly? Some people have issues with that. Are our lungs able to then get the oxygen across the membrane and into the bloodstream? So sometimes if we have gunk in there, maybe an infection, and the inflammatory cells that go along with it, maybe it's a buildup of mucus or toxins or pollutants, things like that, that gas exchange is kind of like getting blocked, and we can't actually allow the red blood cells to meet the oxygen. There's something squishing in between there. And so that can affect the quality of our breath as well. A couple different big factors.
Hmm. And what are some of the issues that happen to lessen our ability for our lungs to give us that healthy exchange?
Mm-hmm. So I think there's issues we have control over and issues we don't, right? Mm-hmm. Or a little less. So genetically, yes, we might have asthma or COPD, which would be chronic bronchitis or emphysema. But then maybe there are other circumstances. So maybe we smoke or are exposed to smoke. For myself, Kathy, I live in downtown Toronto. So right now it's a little bit better, but usually the pollution is pretty bad. For some people, their lung function and lung quality can get impacted by breathing in foreign particles from their jobs, right? So they might not have the best gas exchange because their lungs are busy trying to deal with breathing in. Maybe it's you're a hairstylist and you're working and you have all the fumes of the sprays and things like that. Maybe you are a painter or a firefighter. Maybe you work in farming or where else? A manicurist. In places where maybe your environment, you're breathing in air that isn't as pure and clean and crisp as it would be if you're standing on the top of the Rockies or something.
Right. Do you have some tips for us for lung health, some practical things we can do throughout the day to help our lungs work better?
Absolutely. So, I mean, we can just start even just pure, clean, and simple with doing some deep breathing. So we can try to encourage using our whole lung space. Remember I said that physical capacity. Mm-hmm. So really breathing from the belly. So if you actually put your hands on your belly, one hand on the belly and one hand on your chest, and when you take a breath, you should feel your belly go out, and that's because your diaphragm is expanding, and your chest is going to kind of expand and go up and out, and this is your rib cage moving to allow for your lungs to expand. And a lot of us only breathe up in our top little bits of our lungs, and we don't often breathe into our bellies. So that's something simple. It's kind of like stretching out the corners of your lungs. Mm-hmm. There's other things we can do, though, again, quite simple day-to-day. Using a HEPA air purifier at home or at the office can really help to keep your air purified. So this is spelled H-E-P-A, and it's a system. I actually have one sitting right next to my desk. It's a system that will constantly filter the air in your surroundings. So if you have asthma, if you have allergies, environmental allergies maybe, or if you already have difficulties with breathing, that can be a really, really helpful thing we can do sort of outside the body. Mm-hmm. Those are the big ones. Do you want to talk about food and drink and how we can?
Any simple things that we can do to just give our lungs the most chance they have to do the best for us?
Absolutely. Okay. So hydration. I think we often talk about hydration about our skin and our circulation and all that, but we actually need the mucus in our lungs to help us. So we mentioned that too much mucus is going to be a bad thing, right? When we're sick, we know we don't get enough. We get all congested and we can't breathe. Mm-hmm. But on a normal day, even when you wake up, it's normal to blow your nose a little bit. It's normal to wake up in the morning and maybe have to clear out your sinuses. And this is because your lungs are constantly detoxifying and putting the stuff it's detoxified into the mucus. And then it's like a little mucus escalator, constantly bringing stuff up so that we can get it out. Because there's no other way of getting that out. So when we drink enough water, this really allows us to thin that mucus out and so that we can have our mucus escalator keep flowing, and that it doesn't that we can have that like healthy detox of our lungs without the gunk getting stuck at the bottom of the escalator.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So that mucus is very beneficial. It has a program of bringing up the gunk.
That's right. We need the mucus. You know, there's a tipping point, again, to yes. too much of it, or where it's coming from a place of infection. But yeah, otherwise, it's actually a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else? Does it matter what kind of foods we eat as far as helping our lungs?
Absolutely. Great question. So there's a couple of things. The interesting research is showing that when we use carbs, especially sugar, to metabolize and make energy, basically. So when I say that, I just mean we take that food and we create ATP, which is the energy source that powerhouses it for our cells. We actually produce carbon dioxide, and that's where we need the oxygen from our lungs. Now, if we metabolize, meaning we use proteins and fats as fuel, to create that same ATP to fuel the powerhouse of our cells, we actually produce less carbon dioxide. So in sort of the battle of which types of foods to eat, if you already are struggling with lung health, using more fat and healthy fats and healthy proteins as your fuel sources is easier on your lungs than using carbs, especially sugars, but carbs in general, for energy.
So we get a cleaner burn on that energy.
Yeah, that's way better way of describing it, Kathy.
Yeah.
Thank you. A cleaner burn, yes. Yeah.
Interesting. Wow. Mm. And is there anything else? Like, do our lungs get a better shot at healing when we're asleep or when we're awake? Is there anything with like times of day or anything like that?
Well, we tend to do most of our body tissue healing while we're sleeping. Mm-hmm. You know, we like to think about it as that rest and digest state, which is, again, that sort of relaxed state where we can start to heal our body tissues. But in truth, we are detoxifying all the time in our lungs, right? When we're inhaling, you know, the gunk that we're inhaling day in and day out. Again, I'm thinking of myself living in a city center, but no matter where you are, we're going to be breathing in certain things. But I would say overall, we want to make sure that we're optimizing that the body's ability to do the things that it needs to do. So this means being a healthy weight. This means getting 8 hours of sleep. This means making sure that you're eating lots of different colors of fruits and veggies, especially. And then that way your body has all the building blocks and all the right sort of circumstances and setup so that it can do the things it's supposed to, like detox your lungs and transfer oxygen across the lung tissues into the red blood cells and produce energy for your body.
Wow, so many great tips there. So lots of extra water, lots of protein, lots of fats, the whole rainbow colored fruits and vegetables to give us all those wonderful antioxidants. Mm-hmm. So those are everyday things. But when we get into where our chests are overly congested and that we have problems, then we need to go to medicine. We're going to go to a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about all the herbs that you can put together synergistically to help free the lungs and help them work optimally again. Be right back.